Classy Ring Attire Podcast. I'm Joel.
I'm Chris.
It's time to get classy.
Let's do it.
All right.
So, we've had two pretty good Raw episodes back to back.
Yeah, all things considered.
Last week was better, you know, but not every week could be like that.
Well, no,
you know?
Of course not.
This was, you know, them building off of what they established last week. So, you know, last week was a lot of the shock of it. This week we get more of the context.
Fair enough.
Well, you know.
Yeah.
Storytelling.
Yeah, fair enough. This week, I mean, if we continue to get, like, at this week level of quality,
yeah,
with the occasional boost to last week, I'll be a happy, happy fan.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's just weird because isn't this supposed to be the Pocket of Suck?
Well,
I mean, we got a little bit of Extreme Rules build-up was not all that good.
I mean, the Pocket of Suck kind of ends in June whenever there's a huge kickoff thing. There hasn't been a huge kickoff story of, you know, where we go, dear God, what happened? I need to tune in next week and talk about it with all of my friends.
Right, yeah, because essentially we're around that point where, you know, CM Punk gave the promo, and, you know, we really didn't...
CM Punk gave the promo a little later in the year, but I mean...
Yeah, it was... Well, no, it was the last week of June.
Was it the last week of June?
Mm-hmm, because the very next week was July 4th.
I do remember it was right before the July 4th.
Yep.
Storyline.
And there really wasn't that... There wasn't a big moment last year...
Last year we blamed Raw 1000.
Yeah. Everything had to build for Raw 1000. I think what they were wanting the big thing to be
was CM Punk's heel turn.
Yeah, and it wasn't that clean of a heel turn, you know, because they really waited to fully pull that heel trigger until, Lord, it was around Night of Champions whenever it was CM Punk versus John Cena.
Yeah, no, it was
when he showed up in Boston wearing Yankee pinstripes on his gear, you know. Good heel move.
Yeah. But, I mean, what it kind of has been in the past is right around that special June 3-hour show.
Mm-hmm.
It was, CM Punk was 1 or 2 weeks after that, and I think Nexus Invasion was actually on the end of the 3-hour show.
Mm-hmm.
But
every week
show is
yeah.
a 3-hour show
yeah,
now.
Yeah. It was basically to the point where, you know, at some 3-hour show, we were going to get something big happen. So it turned into every time there was a 3-hour show, we're like, all right, something big might happen. But now that it's all 3 hours, I guess we got to wait till a 4-hour show.
I don't want a 4-hour show.
Then it would be WrestleMania.
Oh, you're hurting me. Like of
a 4-hour wrestling show that couldn't fit 10 matches.
Like, if a standard episode of Raw was longer...
4.5-hour shows, I should say. That couldn't fit 10 matches.
Oh, because of the pre-show?
Yes. Just saying.
If an episode of Raw was longer than your average pay-per-view...
That would be horrible.
That's too much wrestling.
It's bad enough that every episode of Raw is the same time length as
a pay-per-view.
Your pay-per-view. Granted, yeah, you know, we get more because there's no commercials... Or no non-WWE commercials, I should say.
Yeah, we totally get commercials and pay-per-views.
Because I didn't watch the pre-show, but I heard about it through people. I think they actually had a commercial break during the pre-show match.
Did they really?
Yeah.
Well, let's
change. It was a Sheamus match, so...
So, yeah, whatever, I don't care.
You are just completely diving in headfirst in the I Hate Sheamus department.
Yes,
this
I
is
am.
The darkest I've ever seen you. The most against someone I've ever.
I think
seen
it's
you.
The most against someone I've ever been. I really
wow.
do.
Wow.
So
wow, because usually like everyone has that moment of, you know, okay, that was a little bit redeemable, but you're full on.
Yeah. No. It's. I mean, I'm trying to think if there's anybody I've ever been this stoutly against. Maybe Lawler for a while.
Before the heart attack?
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember I was pretty much against Lawler. But even every now and then he'll say something and I'm like, alright, I really hate myself for saying this, but That was a funny line. Good job, Lawler. You got one. But that doesn't happen that often, but, you know, every now and then he'll say something that's actually funny.
I'm thinking in, like, right post Cole Lawler stuff.
Right.
Where, like, Cole was starting to dial it back, and Lawler was not.
Was not forgetting at all.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think that might be, like, in those days, I might have been as against Lawler as I am Sheamus right now.
I don't know. This might be a little bit more.
You think?
Yeah.
From an outside perspective?
From an outside perspective. I don't remember you stating on a weekly basis how much you hated Lawler. Like, with fervor, with conviction.
I don't know. I'm so much more done with Sheamus, is the thing. Right.
Yeah, oh yeah.
I'm fine.
And I'm pretty sure there's not a lot of people other than the famous Puss Bot.
Yes.
The Puss Bot 3000.
Who Sheamus is.
But that's it's not a human being, so technically it doesn't count. It's a Roomba designed to love WWE.
Sheamus is the top three and it's top five.
Oh, we have to remember that and send that to Puss Bot.
It goes Sheamus, John Cena's shirt. Puss Bot's top five.
His I was going to say Brodus Clay, but fair enough. I had a nice little Twitter discussion with the bot earlier today, because I was trying to find its weak point. I was like, yeah, you must be so heartbroken over all the times that the anonymous GM computer was destroyed. And it said it was a little bit, you know, because it was his role model, obviously.
Of course.
And then he was mad that that Hornswoggle came out and took credit for it, because he obviously wasn't the genius behind it. And then I was like, well, your boy Sheamus, you love Sheamus so much, he just destroyed a supercomputer. But to the bot's credit, he was like, that was a really lazy robot that only wanted to play games. So, well played.
Well played, Pussbot.
I will find your weakness one day.
As for Sheamus, like, I struggle to fully find the words.
Right.
To explain.
Hashtags come back, Sheamus.
What it is about Sheamus that I'm so over. But the thing is, I'm kind of big on coming to the defense of John Cena when there is this blind knee-jerk reaction.
Right.
Hatred for John Cena. Yeah.
And it's not so much him, whereas it should go towards the people who make the decisions.
It's creative. To make him it's the role he's kind of been cast in. But even then, there's a lot of redeemable stuff, you know?
Yeah.
As long as, and I've said,
unless he's in joke Cena mode, then all my hate goes to him.
Sometimes he makes me laugh in joke Cena mode.
There's a very few times, just like what I said about Lawler. Hate Lawler about 99% of the time. But every now and then, that 1% gets out where it's like, okay, that's, it's funny. Alright, fine. I'll laugh. I won't like it, and I'll hate myself about laughing at that, but fine. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. But, yeah.
I think it's that.
I really don't. I dislike his mic work.
Cena's?
It's either overly inspirational or dad jokes.
It's a lot of dad jokes, you're right. When his mic work is really good when there is somebody else in the ring.
Yes.
When he is directing his mic work to somebody,
good point.
It's really good. Like, when it's directing to the universe, it's whatever. Terrible. It's fine.
Whenever he's just going on a monologue, just be going on a monologue with no one else in the
Because they ring. Need the Cena numbers at 9 o'clock or 10 o'clock.
Yes.
So Cena comes out and talks for a while about, like, well, tonight, for example, where, like, and tonight actually wasn't as bad as it's been in the past.
No,
but it was Cena, you know, Cena and Mark Henry, who are in a feud now, came out separately to talk.
Yes.
Whereas I think, you know, obviously this is part to stretch it out till Money in the Bank. So they'll talk separately, then they'll talk together. But I think the stuff where they talk together will be a lot better than the stuff where they talk separately.
Yes.
Cena thrives on that.
Sheamus is just indefensible, I think. At least from us.
Yeah, no, I
can't think of a good thing to say about Sheamus, to be honest with you.
He's awful on mic. He is...
boring in the ring.
Boring in the ring. He is unlikable.
Yes.
He is being way put over in a way that irritates me. And again, you know, I've said that that's not Cena's fault, so I'll say that's not Sheamus' fault.
That aspect is not Sheamus' fault.
No. But he...
But the ring work and the mic work is...
But here's the thing. He has been given this, you know, rarefied air gift of being somebody who the WWE is behind and pushing and is being lazy about it.
I used to laugh at the kids that are dressed up like Sheamus with the spiky hair and everything. Mm-hmm. Now I'm debating on leaving anonymous tips with, you know, child services.
There's one on the TV again. Quick. Someone go to Pennsylvania.
I mean, they have to have an emergency line, I would think.
Yeah.
See? Like, a parent allowed their child to be on camera like that. That is not right.
And I will very much always say and always stand by the belief that anybody can be redeemable.
Oh yeah.
Anybody anybody who has made it this far, there are enough.
And to be honest, that's one thing.
And rings, it's not easy to get a WWE contract. So even the worst on the WWE line, you know, in the WWE locker room,
that
had to do something right at some point to catch somebody's eye.
Yeah.
Or blackmail. I mean, if it's a blackmail thing, then
absolutely
whatever. But to benefit of the doubt, somebody did something right.
And then had to...
in the presence of somebody.
Impress enough people in development.
Yes.
You know.
Had to continually impress enough people on a consistent enough basis that they got...
or...
here.
You're really tall.
I mean, no, yeah. Or you happen to have the correct physique.
Kali. Well, he just had the tall thing. The physique thing, not so much.
Well, he also... yeah. He's got the pop in the market so looking for.
Ray.
But, so, you know, I have been pro Sheamus in the past. And I will stick up for those times that I was.
Right. Because we don't know what we know now. This is that we were pro Sheamus in the days where they didn't have as bright of a light shined on him mm-hmm. for as long as it's been.
Yes.
They've had a light on him constantly since Royal Rumble, I would say.
Yeah.
And in that time, we've seen exactly what Sheamus is capable of. And we've seen all the things he lacks, which is quite a bit.
Yeah.
So, there you go. There you have it. You know? But that's what I like about us. That's what I like about our podcast. We're always very hopeful and willing to give people the benefit of the doubt and waiting until they show us otherwise.
Yeah.
You know? That's what I like about us.
Well...
I can't say a lot of wrestling fans are like that, to be honest with you.
That's very true.
Yeah. A lot of them is like, as the first impression and their judgment has been told right there.
Is cemented in place. Well, I think about everybody I ever spent time disliking.
Yeah.
You know, and where they come around. Zack Ryder, a long time was a huge, like, JTG level butt of jokes kind of guy. And then, you know, turned 180 around on him.
Yeah.
I maybe drank the Kool-Aid a little bit, but for a time there, I was like, I could very legitimately believe that he will be WWE champion at some point in his career.
I bought a woo-woo-woo-you-know-it headband.
You did.
You know? That was, like, right in the height, like, right in the middle of all that.
Well, I'm saying, like, he was getting charisma and pop and, like...
oh, yeah.
Get the time
and then,
in the ring.
You know, one or two things kind of went the other way, and... he was off camera and now he's complaining about it.
Yeah.
Now I'm back to against Zack Ryder because I've had enough of his whining.
Well,
that's just me.
I am put off by that as well.
Right. He's he's resorting to airing his grievances in public rather than saying face to face to the people that matter about his grievances. And maybe he has and we just haven't heard about that. You know, fine, but...
maybe it's... and, you know...
still.
But the thing is, what I really liked about Zack Ryder originally was that he wasn't getting what he wanted on, you know, on any WWE TV.
So he did. He
went out and he figured out another way to grab attention.
Right.
And, you know, and maybe that's what he thinks he's doing with Twitter. Maybe he's getting another way to grab attention.
Yeah.
But, and, you know, but that's not, you know, what he was, this fun, lovable, super cool, fun guy that was happy dappy weatherman. So, hippy dippy weatherman. That's is an old George Carlin character.
Gotcha. Okay, that makes more sense. All right, I was like, "What did Joel just have a stroke?" That makes more sense. I remember.
So it's a, you know, but he was a fun loving guy kind of character,
right?
So maybe, you know, and there is there could be a really good character of a bitter wrestler who,
if that's the case, then I will gladly eat my words. If
this has been a slow character build.
Yeah, but at the time.
Or even if they take this very real thing and turn it into a character.
Right, right.
Where he's like, you know, look at this. And there's totally.
There seems to be a lot of that these days. Like, using that for character. They're using that for Ryback right now. And CM Punk's basically was like that back in summer of 2011.
Yeah.
You know, the bitter wrestler that's always been overlooked.
Yeah, I mean, that's what Brad Maddox was for a little bit. Before.
Well, yeah, but he was more in a comedic
role. He quickly went there, but I'm talking about, like, very originally.
Oh, okay.
His, like, for, like, right after the why did you low-blow Ryback thing. Like, his first promo was
right,
the
okay.
independent wrestlers that have fallen through the cracks. Gotcha. Never got the WWE contract.
I forgot about that. Yeah, you're right.
Kind of thing. And so.
When we first started calling him Ref McDreamy.
Yep. Ref McDreamy. But, you know, Zack Ryder's in that. In that bucket, that wheelbarrow, that collection of things, of people who I hated at one point, and then, you know.
Right. I nothinged him, then I liked him, and now I am disliking him now.
Yeah. Mark Henry was a guy I hated.
Yeah.
I mean.
Some people just can't get over their hate now that he's delightful.
Mark Henry, that heel turn, which, that was a while back now.
It was a while back.
But, like, ever since then, I have been continually pleased by Mark Henry. Just, wow.
Yeah.
And, you know, going through R-Truth, I was kind of... R-Truth, I was super charmed by R-Truth at the very beginning.
Really? I disliked him from the start.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah.
He was, I mean, he was, erratic in the ring, which was nice, which was interesting.
It was a change of pace for you.
Right.
Understood.
And so I liked that, and then, you know, then I kind of got bored with him, then Crazy Truth came out.
It which was amazing. Absolutely.
And now we're back to, yeah, whatever. Bloody bleed blah.
We got, you know, we got face, crazy R-Truth, and now we're just R-Truth.
Now it's just R-Truth again.
And really, we're not seeing much of him at all.
No. And again...
And yeah, he's not young anymore. He's one of the older guys on the roster. A lot of people forget that.
Yeah.
So, I mean... I figured his ring run would not be all that long.
No.
You know.
Again, the offer stands. We are willing to pretend that nothing ever happened and he's been crazy heel R-Truth this whole time.
Absolutely.
If you just want to, like, next Monday, you want to bring him out with that character like it never went away?
When that character first hit, I absolutely bought that he was on the main event stage.
Yeah.
And stayed there. I was okay with that.
Oh, very much. He had a championship match.
And his matches, his matches were really good as a heel.
Yeah.
He works really well as a heel. I know a lot of people that watch TNA is like, we've known that forever. I don't care. Okay. Forget it. I'm saying from my experiences on WWE, his heel matches were a lot more interesting to watch.
Yeah.
If you could overlook the water bottle.
His secret weapon.
Now apparently he's turning into Caitlyn's secret weapon. Caitlyn used the dreaded water bottle tonight on Raw.
She used it on SmackDown.
On SmackDown?
That was a SmackDown replay.
Whatever. There was a hockey game on. Okay? Hawks won. Hooray. Stanley Cup champions.
What's his name? The Miz. The Miz is in that bucket. People I hated for a long time.
Yeah. I mean, I never was very pro-Miz. Not quite like you were. But, you know, when he won the Money in the Bank, I was like, I'm okay with this. I'm excited to see what happens with this. You know? Because around that time, he was hitting his stride. He kind of lost his stride he got kind of lost in the shuffle between Rock and Cena. And then his matches after that WrestleMania kind of reflected that. But around Summer or Survivor Series. Round Survivor Series is when he first got the belt.
When he cashed it in on Orton.
On Orton.
There was... So, I was on his side by the time he won the bank.
Yes.
Very much when he cashed in. And then he had a series of fantastic matches with Lawler.
Yeah.
Like, and that was just, you know, like, it happened once and you're like,
TLC.
No, it was Elimination Chamber.
That's right.
It was several weeks before Elimination Chamber, where
we were
sitting there like, all right, this is, you know.
I love the Christmas, the Miz Christmas.
Miz Christmas was really good.
Where he's like, this is your Christmas card, and you actually made a Christmas card.
I made a Christmas card.
Do you still have that somewhere?
I do have that, yes.
I would love you to send that to me. I would love to use that in our YouTube.
I can absolutely do that.
Thank you so much. I need to save that on my computer.
Yes.
Have it forever.
No, I have it. Look at it every Christmas. I'm like, happy holidays, Miz.
This Christmas, we should send out Christmas cards.
We should absolutely send out Christmas cards.
Class ring attire Christmas cards.
With the Miz as champion.
With Miz as champion. if you would like to, if you would like to have a Class and Ring Attire Christmas card sent to you this holiday season, email us at classandringattire@gmail.com. We will work something out because I want that to happen.
Absolutely. And then, you're right. He started getting lost in this.
Yeah, he got lost in the shuffle.
He did this amazing bit, though, where, like, commenting on that, where The Rock, Cena was doing this, like, promo against The Rock, and The Rock's music hit, and then The Rock comes up, but it's The Miz and, like, a skull cap, and he comes up, does skull crushing finale, and does this, you know, there's this whole feud, and neither one of you are champions right now, I am, kind of thing.
Yeah.
Which was amazing. And
there was very good promos that he did over that course before WrestleMania,
mm-hmm.
where he was basically slipping through the cracks. And then he forcefully brought himself back on the forefront and made sure everyone was reminded that he was still there and he was still champion. And at that point, I really, really liked Miz, as we've stated many, many times, that that package they put together before Miz came out at WrestleMania, probably one of the best packages that we've ever seen.
Yeah.
Just all the aspects about it. It really felt like that was like a career defining moment for him.
Mm-hmm.
All things that he's gone through,
and it's slipped ever since.
Yeah,
he won.
I think they leaned a little too heavy on the Alex Riley thing.
The Alex Riley thing, kind of went to nowhere.
Yeah, when that feud they had good matches against each other.
Mm-hmm.
But then when they stopped that and moved on to other things, Alex Riley just disappeared completely. And Miz, he had a brief moment where he was all right with R-Truth, but
he could have, like, the Awesome Truth could have been great.
I just, them doing R-Truth's theme song together annoyed the crap out of me. I mean, granted, R-Truth rapping his way down the aisle annoyed the crap out of, like, face or heel. I didn't like it.
The You Sucked rap
or What's Up?
Yeah,
or whatever the other one. Get Crunk? Was that the other one?
Get Crunk, yeah.
Get Crunk.
It was a different tune.
And he always had, whenever he did Get Crunk, he always had Eve come out and do
dances. Yeah, because he was in a mixed tag team with Eve at the time or something.
It was really only just to have her come out and dance for that song.
Well, it was because he was feuding with Ted DiBiase when he was with Maryse for Million Dollar Couple.
Oh, dear God.
That's right.
I remember the slap. That was a great slap. Probably the best slap I've seen in a while. Mm-hmm. That slap alone ruined Ted DiBiase Jr.'s career.
Yeah.
Because it was just all down from that.
I'm again going to blame that on Brock and Cena because they basically fed Austin Truth to show how awesome both of those guys were.
Yeah. And
that goes on my chart of biggest waste because it really felt like they pitched this, you know, Survivor Series, they will be on the same team kind of thing.
Yeah.
When you clearly would then make them two of the five members in the Survivor Series style elimination tag match.
Oh, absolutely.
But no, they're just going to be...
What would have been great, what would have been really great, is Team Cena versus Team Rock. For Survivor Series.
For Survivor Series?
That would have been really good. Now, or if they were just dead set on having all on the same team, it could have been Team Cena Rock and Team Awesome Truth. Whatever.
Well, that's what it was. Oh, but not having them as full teams?
Right.
Instead of just the tag team matches?
Right.
So, that...
And yeah, that basically buried the team. And then, of course, you know, R-Truth got his wellness policy violation, and that turned him phase on its own.
Yeah.
Because they had him...
Because they had...
They wrote him off with Miz.
So, yeah, and now Miz is... nothing ever made me dislike Miz still. Like, I know
but
a lot of people...
a lot of nothingness, really.
Mm-hmm.
It's not making me dislike him. It's just... It's making me nothing him.
I think it's pushing a lot of people back into dislike default mode.
Him...
It doesn't help that he took him a while to master the figure four.
Still spotty.
Yeah, I used the term master loosely, I'll be honest.
You didn't have a master lock on it?
Shut up. Masterpiece. Not there anymore.
I don't care. I'll still make the reference.
I'm trying to think if there's anybody else that comes immediately to mind in that.
Oh.
Hate it. A lot of people went the other way. Like, Sin Cara, big splash at the beginning, and I was like, oh, I got nothing for this guy.
I mean...
Wade Barrett, big, yeah, here we go. No, I got nothing.
I'm more of just not caring about Wade Barrett now. I was kind of pro him after he finally got out of the core.
Yeah.
Just in the core, apparently all of them are equal.
You have to say that every time.
Michael Cole sure did. So,
and you emulate Michael Cole in all every aspect of
your
living. Well,
he burned it into my brain, so like every time you say the core, you have to say, well, in the core, apparently everyone is equal. And you have to say it with the right inflections. I hate myself, and I hate Michael Cole for doing that to me. But after he finally was not in a big stable...
I was going through our old stuff, just because... apparently we used to call the core Communist Nexus. Since it was made up of Nexus people, it was all about everybody being equal and the colors were red.
That was brilliant.
I know, right?
Wow. We were so smart back then.
So I was like, oh yeah. So...
Which one of us came up with that?
It was probably me.
Alright.
It was in one of my old articles, so...
Oh, okay.
And then it...
To be fair, my best material comes from my articles, too. Yeah. So... We'll go with that.
Alright, fair enough. Carry on with your Wade Barrett.
Well, I was just going to say, you know, once he was not in a big stable, I was a little bit more like, alright, let's... I was more all about him. And when he won, I think it was the U.S. belt.
Intercontinental,
yeah. I was like, alright, maybe we can do something with this.
He won it still when he was in the core. Which made
that
might
that, that that might have been it.
Because I remember Ezekiel Jackson celebrating with him.
Yeah. Then he won it whenever he broke up.
Yeah.
But yeah, he was just one of those guys that he just was the unfortunate victim of injury. And he never... he was... It felt like he was right on the edge of a big breakthrough for him.
No, he was like perpetually pushed up against that glass ceiling. Never right. able to break through.
And they were... Like we remember rumors that they were going to bring back the Money in the Bank match at WrestleMania... Just for him to win it.
Yeah.
And then whenever he got hurt before WrestleMania, they just cut it all together.
Well, it seemed very much for a long time, like it seemed to make perfect sense that Randy Orton was the feud to get this guy over. And like, that feud kept having like stumbles and false starts to the point where like, we were tired.
Because Randy Orton got injured a bunch of times. That was also the infamous elevator camera
uh-huh.
match.
Yeah. But the thing is, like, the feud would start, and then one of them get injured, and then the feud, yeah. they would get better, and the feud would start, and the other one would get injured, and the feud would start, and then Randy would have to go away.
That was a really, really weird time for Randy. Like, that happened, he got hurt. He also, around that time, so I don't know if it was before or after, he had a small feud against Cody Rhodes that never resulted in them fighting on pay-per-view, but they fought on SmackDown constantly.
Yeah.
And there was one time, like, Randy Orton clocked him with the ring bell, and it just gashed Cody Rhodes' face, and, like,
yeah.
a lot of blood came out.
Well, but, like, the end result here is, like, we're already tired of a Wade Barrett-Randy Orton feud before the feud ever actually happened.
Cody might be another guy. Mm-hmm. I mean, we don't hate him, but we're just very indifferent about him now. And we were very pro-Cody, you know, a couple years ago.
Yeah. No, Cody, yeah, Cody was...
Especially after he dropped the clear the face clear mask.
Yeah.
At that point, it felt like he was really, really onto something. And he was onto something when he had the mask.
Well, he was, you know...
But they were kind of beating the dead horse.
Very, very clean, precise, good ring skills.
Yes.
And also, he was very young. And
he's still very young.
Well, I mean, but, yeah. but like, he was a name we would throw out a lot when we were talking about next top guy.
Right.
And we're like, well, he has enough time left in his career that it could definitely be him.
He's still got time.
No, he definitely does.
But
he's in a feud with Sheamus right now.
No,
so
he's not.
I don't want to see him on my screen.
See, that's the thing. He's not in the feud with Sheamus. Sandow is.
Well,
but he's just kind of being there because he's there.
Yeah.
He doesn't have anything going on, really.
So.
It's all Sandow.
Well, Sheamus is
basically because they need something for Sheamus to do. So they justify him putting, you know, being on the screen all the time.
Yeah.
As much as we would love him just be like, okay, I'm just not going to be on the show tonight. Hooray.
So, yeah. But,
Wow.
What?
That was a long... We had a long discussion about that.
I will say, I was super pro Wade Barrett again for a tiny little bit when he did Bang Bang.
I do.
For that one night, because it was that one night where
we're kind of back to nothing him since then.
But. I was pro everybody that night. That was the night after WrestleMania.
He did the Bang Bang.
He did Bang Bang, yeah.
Alright.
No, I was pro. I
did the Bang Bang.
I was probably. I was pro Sheamus that night. Everybody, I was like, yeah! Best wrestler ever.
I think I was pro Sheamus that night just because I hated Orton so much for asking him what his line was.
What's my line?
Like, that's just. That. Like, I'm not even in the business, but I know that is something you just do not do.
Yeah. Anyway.
Bang, bang, bangity bang. Yep.
As we continue on, so big ender from last week is Brock attacking Punk.
Yes.
And we have the fallout of that.
Yes.
Punk asks Heyman, basically, did you orchestrate that? Which we're all assuming the answer is, you know, it's clearly a yes thing. And Heyman goes no, and Punk believes him. And Chris, what do you make of this feud? Where does it go from here?
I think it's going to be, like what we said last week, we predicted that this was going to be a SummerSlam thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be a slow build, and that's what we're seeing now. I'm assuming something is going to happen that will cause, because I know we'll get into it later, but CM Punk was announced to be in the Money in the Bank ladder match. I think something will happen that'll cost him that match. So, you know, that will aim his focus at Brock Lesnar.
Yeah.
Even though he told Paul Heyman that, you know, he's coming for Brock Lesnar.
Right.
But then he was like, I'm gonna go to Money in the Bank and win the championship, that's my focus. So I'm like, okay, what are you doing? You gonna go after Lesnar, or are you gonna go after the WWE belt?
I mean, you're still assuming this is a Paul Heyman will eventually be revealed to be the person behind.
I would assume as much.
I mean, the risk of, if you don't do that, is any concept of Brock Lesnar going rogue means that Brock Lesnar will have to explain for himself why he did that on a microphone.
Right.
So, we need somebody else to do that. Please and thank you.
But there was it was a very long promo segment between those two.
Yeah.
And it was very good.
Yeah.
I like that it was so slow and thoughtful.
No, yeah, no. It's totally one that I was appreciative of. I thought it was pretty great. You want to go into the CM Punk thing? Or, no, I'm sorry, the Money in the Bank thing?
Yes. They did announce the
WWE Championship.
The WWE Championship, I believe it's seven?
Seven people.
I'm not good at the maths.
Which is still not the eight that it's supposed to be, but it's not four like last year, so I'll take it.
Fair enough. But, I mean, you know, they got to save some people for the World Heavyweight.
Yeah. Sheamus could have gone over there. I wouldn't have cared.
So then they would end up with six?
I'd almost rather have it be that.
You would rather have a six-man than...
Than a seven-man with a seven-man
six plus Sheamus?
Yeah.
Okay. Kind of like, what would you rather... Or who would you rather do kind of thing. Would you rather have Sheamus in this six-man Money in the Bank ladder match, or take Sheamus out and put in Sin Cara?
I'd absolutely rather put in Sin Cara.
Really?
I
figured you would at least debate it.
No, because I have no faith in Sin Cara winning, because he would clearly be there to do a high spot.
So you're afraid...
This whole match... I'm going to be worried that Sheamus wins.
Okay. I understand. Very good point.
If Sin Cara was in there, I'm like, he's clearly there to do a high spot Kofi style.
Okay.
He's not winning that match. Sheamus might win this match.
Very fair point. Okay, so here is the participants. We got CM Punk, Daniel Bryan, Randy Orton, the aforementioned Sheamus, Christian, Kane, and the returning Rob Van Dam.
Yes.
Your initial thoughts. Other than Sheamus, we know your thoughts on Sheamus.
Yeah, that's my initial thought when they announced him. Because they announced him in the order of CM Punk first, Daniel Bryan, then Sheamus. So it was like yes!
Yay!
Yes! Oh, okay, never mind.
No. Okay, thank you for bringing us back down to earth.
And so, with the Sheamus announcement, the initial thought was, I'm going to worry this whole match that Sheamus wins it.
Yeah.
I'm very actively cheering for six people in this match.
Yeah.
There's no Kofi, which is interesting.
Well, Kofi's still injured. He had surgery.
Yeah, but I assumed that he would be...
And from my understanding, he'll be out longer.
Wow, alright.
Yeah, that's probably why there's not eight guys in this match.
Yeah, fair enough.
Shelton Benjamin's still out there somewhere. In the Independence.
Yeah, calling back just for this.
Same with MVP. He's also a free agent.
Mm-hmm. I'm guessing that Rob Van Dam will do a nice... high spot to replay a lot.
Yeah.
I do not think that he will win it.
No. Boy's already got two strikes against him before he even gets back in the ring.
Yeah.
They're not going to risk that, no. Same with Randy Orton. It's odd to think about that Randy Orton has the same amount of strikes as Rob Van Dam.
Yeah. I would say... I think Daniel Bryan has the best shot at winning.
I would, yeah. Especially the way that they are building him lately. It was one of the things that it was a fact that seemed a little bit overlooked. Daniel Bryan victoriously closed out the show this week.
Yeah.
And the fans were going nuts. My mind has a hard time wrapping around that fact, because it's something I never thought I would see.
No, it's... Yeah. I mean,
granted, this is the time of year where WWE's a little bit more willing to take, you know, a few... They're willing to make a few moves that they normally wouldn't do, just to see what would happen.
Right, well, they're not building up to WrestleMania right now.
Right. So they know in the future, okay, we could build with this guy, or this guy, not this guy, because we already tried that.
Yeah. This is, you know, as we... We feel like we're leaving the PG era of wrestling. And even if they're not specifically dropping PG, it feels like...
We're in a different...
It feels like somewhere around this time...
It might still be PG, but it feels different than what was overtly PG.
Right. It feels that when, you know, it's looked back upon in histories now to, you know, the recent times to the near future will be the time that is viewed as a transition time of eras.
Right.
After PG.
I would be more... and I know this is probably not going to sound like a great title, but I would categorize what we're experiencing now as more of a reality era.
Reality era. That's what it's...
Yeah. Like, the curtain has been pulled back way more than it's ever been before.
Yeah.
You know, and that's really what's shaping a lot of the stories now.
And it
goes back to CM Punk, to be honest with you.
I mean, part of that will be, you know, if we go to an era down the road, you know, 6-7 years from now, where that is not the case anymore, where it's very much storyline. Or if that's just the norm now because of the internet, which is totally possible.
What they're doing now is a lot smarter, I think, because of the internet. Because the internet, they're going to do whatever mm-hmm. we're on the internet. We're going to do whatever we can to find out what they're going to do next.
Right.
Because we can't wait.
Right.
We can't wait. We always want to know what's about to happen. That way, when it does happen, we're like, I totally knew that was happening. It's just a rush, that feeling. So I think the way they're going about it now is they're not really ever going to be ahead of the internet, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
But they're at least right now on pace for the internet, you know? It's very hard to surprise people anymore.
Well,
And I think before when they were in the straight up PG era, internet was so far ahead.
Yeah.
They knew everything before it was happening.
However, is part of the problem with the whole twice in a lifetime storyline. Is not that I don't think they didn't execute it well, because they told the story the way that we all felt they should have told the story. But the problem is we knew about it, you know, 6 months down the road, we knew how it was going to play out.
Right.
And so it was literally just sitting there, you know, watching this movie you've already seen because, you know, and it's just waiting for it to end. And you had to wait 6 months for it to fall.
That storyline would have worked a lot better if there was no internet.
No, yeah. It totally would have.
Yeah, like, this was a Hogan or Attitude Era, you know, type of match, really.
Mm-hmm.
Because we got that. We got Hogan versus Rock, where they essentially, it wasn't a 2-year, it was just a one-time thing. Yeah. But essentially got the same end result that they were desiring for Rock and Cena. Didn't get that reaction because people were unsatisfied with the build-up, people were unsatisfied with the match even happening. Then the match happened, and they were unsatisfied with the match and the people involved, you know, and so it was a no-win for them from the get-go, really. It was good. It was good that the first match was in Miami.
Yeah.
Because that's a guarantee that they're going to get a positive reaction, especially with Rock winning. They're not going to win that battle in New York.
Yeah.
The crowd is too smart. They're too anti-Cena.
That's true.
You know, and they're really, you know, they're kind of up and down about Rock.
Yeah.
You know, especially because the majority of the fans that go all the way out to WrestleMania, they're going to be smart fans anyway. They're going to be European fans. They're going to be fans that just, they try to be one step ahead of everything. So, I think if they were in a more, I guess, pro kayfabe town, I guess.
Yeah.
Which, I don't know, they could have gone to Boston or something.
Maybe.
I don't think Foxborough would be a very good early April. Well, it probably wouldn't be as good as, I'm thinking weather-wise.
Oh, they did it outside in New Jersey.
Well, I know. It's not that different.
We made diamond cutter jokes for like 2 months.
We did. But I think, well, the arena, the new stadium in New Jersey was probably a lot better than Foxborough.
Yeah, fair enough. My point with the talking about the era thing, though, is that
it's... Sorry, I just went on.
I know, you totally derailed me.
I'm so sorry.
God.
It's a talk show, okay? We talk.
Shut your face. My point is that, and this also comes from a little bit from what CM Punk's promo this week on Monday Night Raw, is that it feels like this is an era of guys who weren't supposed to get over.
Right.
CM Punk is very much a top guy right now. He's a solid, solidified top guy, will be top guy for the rest of his career.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of thing. Daniel Bryan is fighting against, you know, insurmountable behind-the-scenes odds, it seems. I mentioned it a few weeks ago in one of my articles. It was just like, every time Daniel Bryan got over the fans, he got a new gimmick or he got a new something just to crush him back down.
Right.
And he would take that and make it a million times better. Like, Team Friendship should not have worked.
No.
You know, that...
On paper,
no, that is absolutely something that was like, let's make sure Daniel Bryan is stuck in mid-card forever.
And just think, they were this close. Instead of doing Daniel Bryan and Kane, they're almost about to go with some sort of... Something involving Charlie Sheen and Daniel Bryan.
Yeah. Remember
that?
Yeah.
But they went more with Kane. See? Such a smarter idea. Well... Such a better idea.
Well, yeah, I think
they kind of backdoored into it.
Yeah. But, you know, that's the thing is, like, Daniel Bryan, you know, went from nothing and has, you know, just through sheer Daniel Bryan-ness, you know, become insanely over.
Oh, yeah.
That's why I think that if Zack Ryder would literally just go back to being quirky, fun-loving dude Zack Ryder...
Yeah, he would basically be stuck in that role forever and be in that mid-card. He would be like Kofi Kingston.
Yeah.
You know, he stayed in that character. Kids love him. He always gets a decent pop from them every time he comes out. And that's basically going to be where he stays. Unless he comes back as heel, then... By all means.
Yeah. So, it's a time where I think we as fans, and as a mass fan community, not you individually or me individually.
Right.
But as a mass fan community, have more say than we have before over who gets to do what where. The shows are live. You know, Raw and TNA Live, SmackDown's not, but, you know, these shows are live. They can't edit your boos or your cheers.
As much as they, well, yeah.
As much as they try and as much as they want to.
Right, as much as they do it on SmackDown.
You know, awareness of, you know, Ring of Honor and other smaller independent stuff, independent wrestlers. It's a thing now, and... Yeah. You know,
it's getting harder and harder to ignore it.
WWE knows where those message boards are and where, you know,
oh yeah,
the chat is happening. And so, as much as, and I think the majority of that chat will always be, and you know, you follow the right, you know, you follow the hashtags on Twitter, there are plenty of marks that, you know, will absolutely be like, you know, Sheamus best for life, bro kick, fella, hooray.
Puss bot?
Yes.
Yes.
There are plenty of real-life puss bots out there.
They're spreading. Blair, what have you done?
But you can be loud enough.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And so I hope that's a good thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
It should be. Please be a good thing.
WWE being so conscious of all these things, like you said, message boards and, you know, all this stuff. What do you think are the odds that a WWE employee has listened to our podcast before? Just anywhere on the ladder.
There was one time where, like, we said something should happen and it literally happened
the next week.
I don't remember what it was, but I remember having to come on the next episode.
Do you know that it
did you happen. Guys, dear WWE employee that's listening to this right now, there's no way that you're not listening to
then, this. Though, I do remember that was that one week where I said my Shield horror story where, you know, it was a mail sack question where someone was like, you know, what would be the worst case scenario for Shield to lose their first match as a 3-man team?
Mm-hmm.
And I would be like, Cena. And then that next week it was just so close to happening. Like that very next week.
Yeah.
I was like, Oh dear Lord, they're NSAing us.
Mm-hmm.
They're wiretapping us.
So, I mean, I hope they're listening, but, you know, I'm sure everybody in the world does. Not to us, but to them.
Okay. I was about to say, the entire world listens to us?
No, I'm saying that I'm sure that everybody who armchair books
is
hoping that WWE is listening to them.
And they don't.
Why wouldn't you? But
They're not combing through Reddit.
They're not. I mean, they are. I am sure that they are. Not looking for things, but I am sure that they are aware of...
Not looking for things? Then what are they doing?
Not looking for storylines. They're not...
Oh, okay.
So I'm saying they're not looking for their next big storyline in, you know, 4chan pages. But...
God, if WWE had their own 4chan page. I don't know how 4chan works, but...
But I'm sure that they are aware that certain communities of wrestling fans exist. And I would not be surprised if they don't have, you know... If they're not tracking
certain... If they don't have a guy on a desk going through...
Reading those...
Granted, he's probably very low on the food chain, but...
No, but I would not be surprised if they got somebody reading live reactions on Twitter and on Reddit on Tout and stuff.
Yeah.
And, you know, and probably just counting the number of times the word Ryback comes up. Or whatever.
No, Sheamus. They are definitely counting Sheamus words.
Yeah. So... Anyway, let's do... Oh, we got to talk about the video game real quick.
Yes, we got the reveal.
The re-reveal?
Yeah, because didn't they already announce this? I don't know if they got that image, but...
Yeah.
I remember hearing a long time ago that Rock...
Like, it was going to be The Rock. I knew it was going to be The Rock.
Right.
But I don't think I've seen that image before, so I don't remember. But I totally could have, because it's a very generic image.
Not even Rock. Not even Rock. Wrestling, not Rock. Posing with a belt or just... Him yelling into a mic.
Yeah.
Assuming the position, that he, as he said.
I mean, that's the thing. Is like, I could have seen this picture before. I don't know. It's a very generic picture of The Rock.
God, I just want someone to Photoshop that microphone out of the picture and just add something obscene instead.
Yeah.
That thoroughly describes my feeling towards The Rock.
What are you planning on getting this game?
For the sake of this podcast, probably.
Yeah.
I mean, okay. WWE 13... should not have been a good game. And it was a decent game, gameplay-wise. But you can only ignore the graphics so far. For so long. A lot of us had a lot of high hopes whenever... when THQ went under, they got picked up by 2K... By 2K.
Mm-hmm.
And we're like, okay... 2K does decent games. I have the NBA 2K13, and I love the game. I really like the graphics as well. I was like, okay, we've got a chance. And they put out the trailer, the first trailer for the video game, and the graphics are exactly the same, if not worse.
Yes.
Than last year. And this is also a year where brand new consoles are coming out.
Yes.
Okay. And I mean, granted, you know, they specifically said Xbox 360 and PS3.
Mm-hmm.
Which is going to just do wonders for them, because that same, I believe the same month that this game comes out is when the new platforms come out as well.
A little bit later.
It's around the same time, and you also know at this point that the Xbox One will not be backwards compatible.
Yeah.
Because they're upgrading to a Blu-ray drive.
That's true.
So there's that. Okay. I'm sure they'll package it together where it's playable on Xbox One. That's fine. Graphics are going to be terrible. And it's now we know it's because they are still with their developer, Yuke's.
Yeah.
So really, you know, we placed all this blame on THQ when, you know, really they were just the distributor. We really should have been yelling at Yuke's this entire time.
But
bad.
We learn and we grow.
We learn and we grow.
And Yuke's,
get your crap together. I almost cursed right there.
I know. Me too. I almost said that exact same phrase.
I'm not a hardcore gamer, but I'm getting more and more into it past couple years. I see all these games. I see Skyrim. Even Minecraft is probably better, and that's 8-bit.
Here's the thing, I am not super big into graphics. Like, I am...
Right.
There's a faction of gamers that is the number one aspect is graphics, high quality, that's matters. Right. That's not at all how I play games.
No, yeah. Like, a lot of actual, like, true gamers, they'll mention, yeah, graphics is crap, but the gameplay is good, and that's what makes the game. Like, I'm sure the graphics for Star Wars Battlefront 2 aren't great.
No. I mean, they were great for the time.
They're great for the time. Now, of course, you know, their age, but it's still a great game. You know?
The thing...
And that's covered 13 for a while. The gameplay was really well done.
Well, the thing with 13 is that the gameplay is for a game that has better graphics than WWE 13 has.
Yes.
The interaction of the characters is that of such that cannot be represented with the graphics that they have. They're implying interaction with the wrestlers that is not physically happening on the screen. If that makes sense.
Go in a little bit more detail, so I'm following you. If you can.
Okay. I'm playing the game, blah, blah, blah. I hit the right buttons to make the RKO happen. And it's really fun and really fluid. Except the RKO looks bad.
Okay.
As far as gameplay goes...
You're talking about the quick cutscene.
Yeah, I'm doing everything that I want to be able to do with the gameplay.
Okay.
But the graphics are not representing what I feel like I'm doing.
Okay. Okay, you're saying as far as like the moves, as they hit, they don't look...
Yeah, nothing looks...
Okay.
Nothing looks fluid, nothing looks natural, everything looks very dead.
Okay. Okay.
Everything looks very soft.
I agree. It could be a lot more crisp, I would say.
I mean,
as far as like movements.
I mean, much earlier games were, you know, for like the SNES, and you know, it had a different visual style, but it looked fine because everything looked consistent.
It looked on par with the other games for that system.
Yeah.
This, if you compare it to really any game, and we'll stick with sports, because that's probably what it's closely would resemble.
As long as they keep spitting one out every year, that's, you know,
pretty much,
that's
yeah.
the model.
You're right. And now we can compare it to 2K games, specifically NBA 2K, although their franchise. And this is incredibly under.
Yeah.
Under all of that. And then miles and miles behind all the stuff that EA is doing.
Someday, I'll have a WWE EA game.
It might be a while because they're under contract with 2K now.
I know.
So we might.
Well, apparently 2K is fine. It's Yuke's that I'm mad at.
Right. Oh,
I
absolutely.
I didn't know.
Yeah.
So.
Didn't know as much about the gaming world. We were forced to care with this.
Yep. But moving on.
Moving along. Is there anything other that we need to cover?
I think it's time for the other thing that is what is happening now.
And what would that be, Joel?
Email.
The what?
Email.
It's time for the... I can't even do the line. That's right, it's time for the mail sack. Mail sack. Mail sack. Why is there hair in this mail sack? Mail sack. Mail sack. Let's all go inside. And we start off... This comes from our great friend, Blair. He wants to know, is Jack Swagger gone forever? Kind of hope so.
Yeah, I guess.
Like, this new character of his was supposed to kind of, like, inject new life into his wrestling career, and he promptly smoked it away.
Weed the people?
Weed the people. Like, his manager's now working with Cesaro. Which, you know, he's mentioned, oh, these would make a great team, and while Swagger's gone. I'm assuming, like, they're saying, oh, you know, Swagger's... I'm guessing they're saying Swagger's hurt and he's taking some time off or something like that. I'm assuming this is their quiet slap on the wrist for that DUI.
Swagger has never clicked with me.
No.
I feel like I've seen him start
beginning,
and stop and faults and blah, blah.
From his days in the revived ECW... Till now, and now he's fallen flat with me all the entire way.
Yeah.
So, our answer is, we hope. This comes from Neil, and probably the most confusing thing. And Neil, I talked to Neil before this, and he's like, I was going to send you guys something obnoxious for the mail sack. Well, mission accomplished, you jerk. He asked for what A and B is, the statement A less than X, which is less than B, equals CM Punk true.
Does X mean CM Punk here?
I don't know. But see, but the A less than X less than B equals CM Punk.
Yeah.
I'm assuming that means CM Punk.
I mean, either the X so could what mean CM Punk or B could equal CM Punk.
But no.
He wants to know what
B is. No, because there is a less than between X and B.
I know.
So they're not two separate things. I'm assuming CM Punk is the X.
CM Punk's supposed to be X.
Okay.
I think this is a poorly worded math problem, Neil.
I think so, too. Stick to your historian-ness.
But so, yeah.
So, what is less than CM Punk? Just things. About everything in the company. Mm. I would say everything in the company. What is greater than CM Punk is two CM Punks. A female version of CM Punk. And they can mate and make
more, so AJ?
More CM Punks. AJ's okay. I don't think she's the full-on female version of CM
Punk. AJ back in the day?
AJ back in the day? What are you talking about?
Earlier AJ.
So. Lita?
No, fair enough. Guess who's dating?
From what I understand, they are dating, so they could make tiny little punks.
Oh, God, imagine the wrestling talent in that infant.
Oh, dear. Oh, dear God.
Wrestling fans of 2032, you are so lucky.
Dear Lord, this throwaway question turned into something that just a beautiful pipe dream.
CM Punk wrestling. Yeah.
That's a happy thought.
It is.
That is a wonderful thought.
It is. I would like them to win the WWE Championship at 22.
Okay.
To undercut Randy Orton's.
Oh, okay. But yeah, and they could totally do the whole, you know, second generation superstar. But if Lita is their mother, they could technically be like, oh yeah, second and third. Because adding just the generations, I know that makes no sense. I don't care. Throwaway joke, I'm leaving it in. Even though you're the one editing.
That's what I was going to say. I'll leave it in just for you.
Please take that out, actually.
Now I'm definitely leaving it in. All right.
All right. We do want to go ahead and announce next week on our show, we are planning to have our fellow wrestling writer.
Esteemed colleague
and wonderful musician. Our friend Jonah will be on the show hopefully next week. If all things go correctly, we are excited to have him on.
This is a tentative announcement.
But he's down for it. We're down for it. Hopefully everything will align, and that will be next week.
All right. And as always, please follow us on Twitter at CRAttire. Oodles of tweeting all Monday night long throughout the week. It's fantastic. It's good for you to listen to. Wonderful times.
And wonderful to read.
Yes, you should actually read it.
Yeah.
If you listen to it, it'll be very boring.
I mean, I'm sure we can get Postbot to send out to them and read it for us, but then he'll probably just...
Postbot would not appreciate it.
He would not recite them. He would just say, bro kick, times 20.
Is that
just
140 keep going. Characters?
No, because we've seen him.
We've seen him type
nothing but bro kick in a tweet that he sent out. And it's a lot more than that.
Yeah.
If you have any questions, comments, anything you want us to address here on the show.
Or would like a Christmas card.
Or if you would like a Christmas card, send all of your inquiries of all natures to our email. That's classyringattire@gmail.com. Let's fill up that mail sack.
We are also on iTunes. You can find us there. You can subscribe. You get new episodes downloaded to you every single week. It's fun for you. Maybe give us a rating of
5 stars.
Or you could write a review there. That'd be fantastic.
Yes, yes. And if you're listening to this on wrestling.insidepulse.com, leave us a comment on there. We'd love to hear from you. And while you're there, go ahead and read all the great stuff. He made a very rare return to his blog on wrestling.insidepulse.com. It was very well done. It's a very good read. Highly recommend it. While you're there, go check it out. Both me and Joel will have our usual columns on there this week.
All right. Until next time, stay classy and huzzah.
Huzzah.